stuck at home and you don't know what to do. Hold on, baby, Rhonda, she's got you. Grab your computer, log on, baby, you got the power. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour.
Hey, everyone, we're back. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour, and thank you for joining me. We have just been building up so much steam because of you, and I thank you for watching and tuning in. We have a great show, and they just get better and better every week, and I get so excited. But I'll tell you the rules. I'll tell you this, who's going to be coming on, so hang on, hang on, hang on. We have this week legendary film director, writer, producer, actor, Lloyd Kaufman from Troma Films, Tromaville. He's an old friend of mine. He used to come on Up All Night with all of his iconic. He's produced over 1,000 films or in his own library that Troma Films owns. Exciting. Then we have, Burt Ward. I know we all grew up with the iconic Burt Ward from Batman and Robin. He played Robin, and he also has an amazing dog food line that I'm going to tell you all about, that he's going to tell us all about. Yes, he recently got his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's so exciting. So we've got mega stars. And then we also have a mega star, really good friend of mine, the fabulous comedian, headlining TV star, Helen Keeney. And Helen is also a fabulous host on, I was going to say USA Up All Night. Wait, that's me. No, Helen is one of the hosts on HSN, and we get to work together and sell bras and panties. But she still headlines as a comic, and she's an actress, and she was actually in a Troma film. We'll find out more about that as well. But let me tell you some rules that we have here. This is a big one. When I say hair, because hair is very important, because most of us have been shut in and not getting our hair done. When you hear this, hair. Take a swig of whatever you got. Hopefully it's something bubbly or something white or something that'll make you feel good and sleep well. Cheers. Okay, so that's the hair rule. Here's the other things that I have going on. I'm a self-promoter, and I know that makes Lloyd Kaufman very happy. So if you haven't read my book, it's called Up All Night, From Hollywood Bombshell to Lingerie Mogul, Life Lessons from an Accidental Feminist. Yes, an accidental feminist. So if you want to learn how to get your product to market, and you want to learn how to negotiate those Me Too movements that you shouldn't be, moments, it's all in the book with really good pictures. Okay, so we have that. You can get that at rhondashear.com. You can also pick up your panties and underwear there too. It's so exciting. I have a whole line of them. Also, we want you masking up. And if you go to rhondashear.com, you can get fancy ones like this. Mm-hmm. Very sexy. Watch the sexy eyes you can do. Or you can get a plain one in a plain color. You can even get black for the man in your life, or if you want to be just a plain black one, you can get it. And we like them because they have this little pocket in it, so you can put a little filter in it or even a Kleenex, and that helps too. So go to rhondashear.com for your mask. And we want you to write us at rhondashearsocialhour.com. We are broadcasting right now from rhondashearsocialhour.com, from YouTube, Rhonda Shear TV. So that's really exciting. Go there and subscribe to my channel, Rhonda Shear TV on YouTube. We're also running live on my Facebook page, both my friend page and my fan page. You can find us everywhere. And guess what? After this show, we will take out the video and make the audio and turn that into a podcast. And you can find that wherever podcasts are playing. So everywhere. Now, if you want a little bit of me for yourself, you can go to cameo.com. Do you know about cameo.com? It's the coolest. All your favorite celebrities, stars, friends, anybody who's anybody, an influencer, whatever, they're all there. You can just go check it out. And you can book us for a nominal fee, and we will do personal whatever, celebrations, birthdays, your personal message to you, birthdays, anniversaries, bar mitzvahs, bon mitzvahs, divorces, whatever you want to celebrate. I'm happy to make that literally that announcement, that personal announcement, that one-on-one just to you. And my fee is very small. If you go to Gilbert Gottfried's, it's very expensive, but he's there and he's very, very funny. So you can go to RhondaShear.cameo. Excuse me. Take that back. Cameo.com/RhondaShear. It'll get you directly there. Okay. I'm promoting. I'm making so much money. I can see you guys doing this right now. You haven't stopped. And you can, let's see, the last thing, write us. So we have a contact page on RhondaShearSocialHour.com where you can literally write us if you think that you want to be a guest or you got something to offer us or if you want an autographed picture, just write us. Tell us about our show. We found a great guest that wrote in last week. Just great. So anyway, I'm very, very excited to start the show. But you know, we have to start with our famous, favorite mixologist, Professor Cocktail. In the meantime, here, watch Professor Cocktail with his drink of the week. Have a sip, and we'll be right back with my first guest after this.
Pink lady, Cosmo baby, gonna make the drink and don't mean maybe.
Professor Cocktail.
Old fashioned gin and juice, mix it with Red Bull to get a boost.
Professor Cocktail.
Grasshopper my tie, a shot that tastes like apple. Tom Collins whiskey sour, a fruity drink with a giant flower.
Professor Cocktail. Professor Cocktail.
Yeah. That's my energy ball. I get energy from this thing. See? All out there. It gives me energy to do the job I need to do to teach you all about perfect cocktails, because I'm Professor Cocktail, and here we go with another version of what to drink. Okay? Tonight, we're going to talk about sophisticated sips. You hear me? Sophisticated sips. Okay? Because that's what it's all about. So, we're going to focus tonight on Glenlivet. Okay? This is Glenlivet 18. Some fine shit. So, we got a little perfect little taste here. I'm only going to do a little because you got to like it. You can't waste this shit. You know what I mean? That's all we do for little taste. Okay? But you do like 12 or 13 of them, maybe 20. And you'd be singing all night, jumping off the pier, playing with the dolphins. And that smells good, and it tastes good, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. It's warming all the way down. And when I say all the way down, I mean all the way down. Okay? You all have a good time, and I gotta give my energy back over here. Soon.
Tom Collins whiskey sour, a fruity drink with a giant flower.
Professor Cocktail. Professor Cocktail.
And in honor of Professor Cocktail, let's hit it.
I really like your hair. I really, really like your hair. I like your hair.
Oh, that was a long one. Anyway, this is a social hour, so we want to get social. We want to get our mind off of all this shut down stuff. Anyway, I'm better. My next guest is coming up. It's really exciting. He is legendary, but before I introduce him, I actually want to play a trailer, a commercial. Then we're going to play a trailer from Toxic Avenger, the film that started it all for Lloyd Kaufman. We'll be right back with Lloyd right after this.
Comfort, support, confidence. That's what you'll find at RhondaShear.com. Shop award-winning intimates, shaping, and apparel in sizes extra small through 3X.
Meet little Melvin. He's a 90-pound weakling. Everyone hated Melvin.
I'm gonna take this mop and shove it down your throat.
They teased him.
I wanna do it with you.
Okay.
They taunted him. They tormented him until he had a horrifying accident and fell into a vat of nuclear waste. Transforming little Melvin into a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength. Melvin became the Toxic Avenger. The first superhero born out of nuclear waste.
Holy shit!
I don't know what it was, but it saved my life.
All right, everybody, drop your tacos or I'll blow your brains out.
The vandals and the perverts had their way with the little people of Tromaville until the Toxic Avenger ripped them apart. The Toxic Avenger. His face is so terrifying. We can't show it to you now. You'll have to see the movie for yourself. The Toxic Avenger can bend steel with his bare hands.
Oh, we're only kidding. Get it?
Leap small cars in a single bound. He crushes drug pushers. Smashes hit-and-run drivers. For incredible, explosive action, you must see the Toxic Avenger. He's a different kind of hero. The Toxic Avenger is coming to your town. Look out.
Marks Lloyd Kaufman's 50th year making feature films and Troma Entertainment 47th year making it the longest running independent studio in history with over 1,000 films in Troma's libraries. In the late 1960s, Lloyd Kaufman was enrolled at Yale and decided he wanted to be in the filmmaking business. Out to Hollywood he went. 1974, he produced some films, but he really didn't get along with mainstream Hollywood. He wanted to do it Lloyd Kaufman's way. And so he did. In 1984, he partnered up with Michael Hertz, started Troma Universe, and Toxic Avenger was their first hit, and Class of Nukem High. Well, we're going to ask our next guest about all these films, but he has one coming out, premiering next Saturday, August 29th at Fantasia Fest, Shakespeare's Shitstorm. Welcome, please, the one and only, my friend, Lloyd Kaufman.
Yay!
Yep.
Fabulous.
Well, you can see, always wear your mask. That's why, especially if you're playing the clarinet. Very important to wear the mask.
Make Absolutely. Sure as long as your nostrils are covered is how I feel.
Yeah, right. And the ears. The ears are very important.
Very important. And who is that beautiful young lady sitting next to you?
This is the commissioner. Come closer, but don't block Toxie. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. You see Toxie back there, Rhonda?
Yeah.
Rhonda discovered Toxie. And we all have dinner. You, Pat, the commissioner here, and Joe Bob Briggs. Sorry, I get used to these things. We had dinner at the Elio's.
That's right.
Elio's is a major, major place, and it just gets. He died, unfortunately, but the restaurant is incredible. It's.
Oh my gosh!
Woody Allen there to Terry Jones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She was the film commissioner.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, this is exciting and so exciting to see you. You look beautiful. I'm glad you're both having, I have to say, I have to do this. I'm sorry. It's just part of the show. Your hair looks great. Cheers.
Oh, thank you.
Woo-hoo.
I really like your hair. I'm sporting the Santa Monica bum look.
Your hair looks great.
You're the nicest person.
I feel like I'm married to Robert De Niro, but Lloyd is cuter.
Oh.
Oh. gosh, how long have you guys been together?
By the way, Pat produced hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. You have to say the hashtag.
Hashtag Shakespeare's Shitstorm. Okay, so Lloyd, so I have to say, Lloyd and I do go back. We literally, you were on many up all night. I had love scenes with Toxie. Toxie would come on the show all the time. He was fabulous and sexy and safe.
He loves you, Rhonda, I tell you.
And then you and I don't know if you remember this, but you and I had a very fun scene in Prison of Go-Go.
You did, with Mary Warrenov.
Yes, about 15, 16 years ago. So, but I've been watching for you, and I just can't believe that 1,000 films later, you guys are just kicking it. New generations have found you. They have found Toxie. They continue to love your films. What is it that makes you and Tromaville so special? And mainstream Hollywood, literally, some of these films will come and go. They're up for Oscars. We never see them again. Bye-bye. What makes you, and you are special, but what do you think? What is the appeal to the kids, to your audiences?
As I said in the title page, the first page of my first book, and the first book I wrote was written by James Gunn. But I said, if you want to be a movie maker like me, marry somebody named Pat. And then there was a picture of Pat Kaufman.
Aw, that's sweet. That's really sweet. Yeah. And Pat, you were film commissioner? That's huge.
20 years.
20 years. The commissioner for New York State. Yes. For New York State.
Appointed by both Republican and Democratic governors, including Cuomo, the most recent.
Yeah.
That's great. That's interesting in itself. I didn't realize that.
I'm retired now. I'm a retired commissioner.
But you're producing.
Even toward the end of your career, you executive produced Return to Nukem High. And Return to Nukem High, aka Volume 2.
Yeah.
And were you executive producer on Poltergeist?
I don't think so.
No.
I also read that your daughter, who wanted to do something completely out of this business, decided, you know, after a while, she wanted to be, you know, not do what dad and mom did, but do something completely different. And then finally, she got on campus, as I read this anyway, or my producer read this, and said that, everybody wanted to meet you, so she decided to make films. Is there any truth to that story?
Well, I think that she was she went to Harvard Business School, and she wrote a very funny essay about sort of rebelling, you know, Harvard Business School being in the rebelling against blood-sucking freaks. You know, what else can you, you know, how do you rebel against that? Or return to Nukem High, or hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm.
Yeah, so then she went on to become, but then after she went through her rebellious period, getting her MBA at Harvard and working at, you know, Barclays Capital Bank, then she decides, well, maybe the film world is a little more interesting after all. And now she works in film.
And is doing a good job. And she's got two kids.
Yeah, on top of it all. So, yeah. They're just
us. So your grandparents.
A whole new
generation of filmmakers.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'll ever stop. I mean, do you still continue to love it every day as much as you did in 1974?
More so, I think. We're the trauma is the herpes of the movie industry. We will not go away.
Stop it! I'm getting older. I think I felt a little pee. That's funny.
You discovered us. Come on, you up. You can't imagine how many people at San Diego Comic Con or some of the other ones that we're invited to. They've discovered us. Where?
It's endless. Everywhere we go, and then when someone says, "Oh my God, you're Lori Kaufman. Oh, you made Toxic Avenger. I used to see that
all night.
Right? They always remember you.
Gilbert, we had your library and we loved it, and the fans loved it, and we loved it.
Yeah.
And the thing about Lloyd, you're an actor, so you come on and you add so much fun to it, and you guys add so it just you make the film world just so much fun.
Thank you guys for being open-minded. One of the very funniest but nastiest critique we ever had was, it wasn't from you, Rhonda, it was from Gilbert on Student Confidential. And we didn't pay for that film. It was one we bought. And it's a nice looking film. Kirk Douglas's kid is in it, and Michael Jackson's brother, and Ronnie Blakely from Nashville. It's quite a good film.
Gilbert ripped
it a new sprocket hole, shall we say. And the guy who made it called up on Monday, and he was sort of a pompous guy. And he was furious.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's just comedy. Have you done Godfrey's podcast?
Well, his Confidential wasn't supposed to be comedy. You know, it was like a
Blackboard Jungle. You know. Lloyd has always said that, you know, any publicity, any review is a good review, right?
Geez, you said it. Yeah. Our channel on YouTube, my career is 50 years. I've been honored all over the world, including the Museum of Modern Art. And I got a wife who's a special commissioner. What community standards are they talking about? And they ripped our whole station. They took it down and all these treasures.
I've read that Samuel L. Jackson movie.
And they have all sorts of disgusting stuff up from Netflix. And like stuff that's really disgusting.
So why did they rip it down? Because they said it was too much.
Community standards, whatever that is.
That's as far as they will tell you. They won't even tell you what it was they didn't like. They just said it went against community standards. That is literally all they will tell you.
Everyone who's watching out there, my friends, my fans, Lloyd's fans, you got to write in and demand that they put trauma films back up on YouTube.
There were several hundred free movies, most of them were made 100 years ago, and they've been up forever. It's the algorithm, I think, that has been set to go after certain elements, but if those elements are made by competition to the cartel that runs the media, because they don't go after the bloody CNN scenes, they don't go after the real decapitations. I mean, maybe they do, but sure is easy to find porn on YouTube. I don't go to porn, as my wife will tell you, but I've heard
but you're right. And you know what? Up All Night, you know, the whole thing that we existed was we basically took the place of the scenes that were cut out. And there was never anything in any of your films. I mean, maybe there was a few scenes, but there was nothing, anything that was, I mean, this was back in 1990 and 91 that I started airing. So demand Tromaville and Troma Films back on YouTube. So everybody get on it. Tell your friends. Some people, the Troma Library, we went back, but I want to say, and my producer will put something, I read that you had Dustin Hoffman in some of your films, and De Niro,
Gone. Hey, look at that. That's great.
Samuel Jackson. I mean, that's really cool. So the fact that, I mean, you're a legitimate filmmaker and you have generations that love you and love your superheroes, because the superheroes are more on fire than ever. Cosplay, that whole thing that, you know, it's... I think people and the young people are really looking for escape. And you were so ahead of your time in doing, you guys were so ahead of your time in doing what you did.
Michael Herz has a lot to do with it. In fact, when we did the B-minus awards, right, Michael hates publicity. And so we had him at his desk with his head on the desk with blood. And when the camera came, I said, Michael has just killed himself when he heard we won the beef. And you guys are great with it. Can you imagine you put a suicide scene on TV now?
That's right. No.
Oh my God.
Everything is so scary. But you know what? They hide some things. And the thing is, kids can find anything if they want to. And really, I mean, so you're right. Couple things I want to talk to you about.
As unpleasant as the YouTube thing is, if you want to support us, we're the last of the good old independent studios. We really love movies. Go to Troma now and subscribe. The first month is free. Hundreds of movies and extras and comic books and all sorts of stuff. and you help these independent filmmakers and keep me in cat tranquilizer. So it would really be great.
Okay, Troma Now, you can subscribe. I mean, does the American film market still exist? Does that still?
It does. It does. And it's a virtual one this year. I am on the board of the American film market. So
I see you guys.
Not in the strongest position, but it exists. It's the voice of the independent movie makers.
And there will be a virtual market
in
November. So, yes, it's carrying on.
Up All Night used to come out there and cover you at the beach.
It's in the air, in the ether. It'll be on air, you know, cover us on the, it's virtual.
Yeah. So Troma, so you can, not only through Troma Now, right, .com.
Yeah, Troma Now.
But do you stream on other, like Netflix? I mean, are you, where else can
yeah, we've moved everything off of Netflix and Amazon mucho bedo. So we moved off of them, and you know, we got tired of paying for their $5 billion a year budget.
I can't.
You're about to launch your own platform?
Yes, but it's the Troma Now thing is there, but I don't think we want to say, we think in about a week there's going to be Troma Plus, which will have an app from which you can go to Roku and Tubi and Poopy and Doopy and all the, you know, everything. But we slowly, the deals that were being given, if you want to see a delightful 10-minute documentary I made, kind of illustrating how YouTube and Amazon treat the independent filmmaker differently from the mainstream filmmaker. It's called Independent Artists Versus Corrupt Media Cartels.
I love
YouTube.
That.
No, it was just taken down from YouTube. I think it's on Troma Now.
Wow. Okay, so go to Troma Now. And
yeah, I've got a lot of good stuff there.
And free the first month. You can watch everything.
Sitting in my house right now, social distance is one, my producer, and two producers, female and a male, and my husband. But, you know, they produce a lot of independent films here, and independent films are winning awards, and independent films are so much better than where mainstream has gone. And I thank you for doing that and doing your own thing all these years. And so does millions and millions of people that love your world, and yet you did it your way. So just keep kicking it, you know, and we'll tell everybody, we're going to put up everything so everybody can see it and go complain.
And please put up something to preserve net neutrality. Preserve net neutrality, the free, open, and democratic internet, because that's the only thing you and Troma and the commissioner have. We got no ability to buy $200 million worth of advertising to open one movie. And this is the thing that has really kept Troma in touch with our fans, net neutrality. And if it goes away, those Congress people ought to be going away.
Well,
the FCC. You should tell the FCC.
Termlimits.com.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to put what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you offline and you'll speak to my husband. I'm jumping around here, but I do have a young lady on later. But her name is Helen Keeney, and she started her career at 19 in Plutonium Baby. And I don't know if you remember. I don't know if she had a big part or not, but she's a major starring comedian, and she's a host. She got killed. Don't show that. It might be offensive.
Yeah. You know, we didn't make Plutonium Baby, but it's an excellent film. I think that we no longer have the rights, but it's a very good movie.
It's not too late for you to cast Helen and myself in one of your, you know, we like to be like, I personally like being, I'm not a cougar. What's older than a cougar? But I'm like that, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready for my, I've never been in a Troma film. It's not too late.
Well, it's time. It's time.
It's about time.
You said it. I tried many times, but.
Tell us what hashtag Shakespeare's shitstorm is about. And we do have a clip that we're going to show of that as well.
Well, the commissioner, the producer will tell you The Tempest is my favorite. I'm sorry.
Are you showing the clip now or should he be telling you what?
Tell us and then we'll show the clip.
It has a lot to do with hair. That's all I know.
Okay, we'll show the clip.
Tell him it's the Tempest. I was trying and you shut me up.
Good evening and greetings from Tromaville. Tonight we embark on a magical journey into a new era of wonderment for the Troma team. We have consulted the world's most renowned Shakespearean sources and scholars so that we may present to you the most accurate and compelling production of The Tempest ever brought to the silver screen. Our revels now are ended. And these, our actors, as I foretold you, are spirits and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped mountains, the solemn temples, the glorious palaces, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherits shall dissolve.
Those scat-covered snowflakes are caught in the shitstorm!
I found a cure for opioid addiction. What I didn't realize is that the opioid addiction is a $50 billion industry enriching the elites. There I was, my life's work stolen from me, betrayed by my own sister, shunned from society. All these years I've been planning my revenge against Avon Bard and all the world. I had Ariel infiltrate their boat and using gallons of whale laxative, lured them to their doom.
It's I who's beckoning. Time's up and welcome to your final reckoning.
We are such stuff as dreams are made of, and our little life is rounded with a sleep.
Another classic. Congratulations to both of you.
Well, it's all Lloyd's vision. It's his favorite Shakespeare's play. And he's waited a very long time to do it.
That is true.
And it's awesome. Yeah, it is awesome. So what is Fantasia Fest? Where do you see that? Is it premiering?
It's Canadian, but the movie is available. It's locked to Canada and the United States.
Okay. It's virtual. Obviously, this year it has to be virtual, right? Obviously, yeah. But it's one of the most important genre festivals around the world.
Actually, Canada itself went virtual this year, I think.
It's going to be a huge success.
Yeah, it's a great festival, in my opinion. Fantasia, it's the biggest genre film festival: horror, science fiction, and fantasy. And it's the best curator, Mitch Davis. And I've been James Gunn went and with we went with the James Gunn in '93, which I think was their second year of Fantasia. Every movie I've ever seen in that festival, I've been there numerous times. It's worthwhile. There's never been that 20th Century Fox brought their way in. You know, these guys, Mitch Davis loves film. He loves film. You ought to have him.
Well, you know, a lot of my fans are writing. They can't wait to see it. They're saying this movie might be the best Troma film yet. They're writing in live time. They love you guys. And so Joe said, I know nobody said hair, but I need a drink after seeing that. So,
well, here we go.
I wish you guys amazingly, great good luck. I would love you all to continue to come back every now and then, visit us. I'm glad I got you on before Shakespeare's shitstorm premiered. You look fabulous in it. Your acting's the best ever.
And, he's absolutely wonderful in it.
Oh, he is. I can tell. I can tell. We all want to see it in anything Canadian. I've got friends there. They do it well. They do well. They do film festivals well in Canada.
Yes. You know,
we have a film festival down here. Maybe we got to get you involved with the floor. You know, we live in the we live in St. Petersburg, but the Tampa Film Festival is great. So I'm going to talk to you about that down the line, but we're going to send everybody to tromanow.com and subscribe so you can see all your favorite Troma films. And
it's watch.troma.com. That's the that's how you subscribe. Watch.troma.com.
Watch.troma.com. Okay.
Thanks.
So it's on the screen. We're going to put it up. Yay. And we will and it'll stay up and it will live on podcasts. It will live everywhere.
Yay.
I love you guys so much for being my guest. And good luck.
And if you see a script that's crazy and one of a kind, it doesn't have to make money. I'm looking for the next project. So, you know.
Well, I can't even tell you how many. Boy, you just opened your mouth. But that's good. I do have friends. Then the independent film that would love that. I will send you that.
Something, you know, really
good,
really significant and yet entertaining and hopefully amusing.
I'm going to write myself into a very
small part written for you.
Just a small part. I don't have the attention span to memorize anymore.
You were great in Prison on Go-Go. Come on. But and the budget is under, you know, about $500,000.
That's huge.
We can supply some cash, but we can't come up with all of it.
That's you. No, seriously. I have writer friends, and I appreciate that, and they appreciate it. And there's a lot of talent even in this Florida area that have done some amazing work. So we'll get scripts out to you. I'm fine sitting right here with my five dogs around my feet.
Yeah. Well, say hello to Tampa Bay Screams. It's a convention that had us come down
Yes.
A couple of years ago. It was so nice. A lot of filmmakers. That was really, it's small, but it's a lovely atmosphere.
Yes. I was actually at one of them myself signing autographs. So thank you. Thank you for making appearance.
Best to your hubby.
Thank you. We'll get out of this and we'll be hugging and kissing soon. Take us out with the clarinet. Take us out.
Here we go. I got to put the mask on.
This is why I love doing
this
show. Love you both so much.
Bye.
It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour.
Oh, this lemonade is crap.
Well, here's the problem. It's all natural.
All natural? It's made with lemons, water, and real cane sugar.
What happened to the lemonade we used to drink?
Hey, what's up, whippersnappers?
Who the hell are you?
I'm Country Boy Jim.
Now put that junk down and have some of my Country Boy good time tasting lemonade.
Wow, that's more like it.
I told you so.
It's the same unnatural ingredients that your grandpa used to put in your lemonade in the 1990s.
Benzonic acid, sodium benzonate, monosodium glutamate, riboflavin. I can't even pronounce some of this stuff.
Awesome, just like the chemical-filled, almost old-time, homemade-tasting lemonade that Grandpa used to make. So what should I do with this natural lemonade?
I'd give that to a homeless hippie.
country boy, no lemons, great taste.
It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour.
The fabulous comedian, headlining TV star, Helen Keeney. So, you know, I had Lloyd Kaufman on, and I know you were in, like, you had, like, a few lines in Plutonium Baby. And then he said it wasn't a Troma film. I guess it's a film that they bought for their library, but I still
think they did. It's a film that I shot, and I was in the first half of it, and then I don't want to alert, but I was killed. You could see by that shot. And then Troma, there you go. That's me.
Yep, I love that. Oh, my gosh.
The original hair color.
I never knew.
I don't remember until I saw
this. This is my favorite. This is my favorite hair color. Okay, so, you know, Lloyd was on. So I've already asked him for roles for us in future films. So
Okay, good. Finally.
I've never, and this time we don't have to show our boobs or anything. It's going to be,
not this time.
Not this time. So what are you up to? Tell us. I mean, you know, first of all, everybody wants to know about what it's like. I know right now we're in shutdown, but what is it like to be doing stand-up on the road? What is it like to be a stand-up doing comedy on television? And then we'll get to the HSN stuff. But, you know, just tell everybody, because they don't know the life of a comic. I know
well, the life of a comic is a lot of airports and hotel rooms, as you know. It's just basically, it's like being a flight attendant, only you're talking to a microphone for 45 minutes in between flights. That's pretty much what it's like.
And a lot of writing. You have to write and stay current. And know all that.
You do. I happen to be generally very interested in current events, so I would pay attention to that anyway. And then that comes out in my shows. I've kind of started doing this new thing lately, the show called Group Therapy, where I walk on stage and I kind of feel out the audience and I talk to them for an hour. It's a combination of a tarot card reading and crowd work.
Wow. That's new and different. Now, I've seen you perform and you're hysterical. And I know that you can get, you and I, we always walk the line of going naughty. We always stay on the nice side on HSN. Is this new group therapy show? Do you get naughty in this one?
I do. It's a very no holds bar show. It's
really
definitely not. It's definitely not family friendly, as they say. But I love doing it because I really feel like the live experience is, I know what everybody is missing right now. I think that when this pandemic is over, I think that people are going to head out to theaters and comedy clubs and venues for music in droves, because there's nothing like the live experience. That's me with Kevin Nealon in Hollywood on a show that he did, which was really interesting, where you do a set and then you go on stage with Kevin Nealon and he has a legal pad and he picks out your jokes and he's like, so tell me about this.
That's great.
It was crazy. It was really fun.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you've been with all these people. I mean, it's so funny that you and I didn't really get to know each other till Florida.
We had interesting, you were more in the sexy, you know, kind of bombshell. And I was more of the, like, you know, mom doing commercials kind of.
You know what? I think that was in your mind, girl, because you're a bombshell and I don't know how you hid that, you know.
That's a movie I actually did in Florida, The Tooth Fairy 2. That's Larry the Cable Guy. So I shot that when I got to Florida. And I haven't stopped working and doing stand-up and everything while I've been a host at HSN. And
amazing.
I'm still doing stand-up. I actually stopped during the pandemic. I haven't done anything since March. I did a virtual show for McCurdy's Comedy Theater, and it's going to be on their website soon, where I was on stage, and the club owner, Les McCurdy, who's also a very funny comedian, sat at the back of the club with a Casio keyboard, and each key was programmed in a different laugh track. So he push a button based on how he thought that joke went.
That's really funny. I love it.
I hope so. So that's going to be coming out.
But you know what? It's amazing. You know, first of all, here in Florida, we're very comedy club rich up and down the coast.
100%.
It's funny that I didn't really embrace it when I got here. You know, I'd had a couple of shows. I worked at the Improv and the audiences weren't that great. So I was like, you know, I think the selling panties might be safer. But I still like, there's a piece of me that still wants to every now and then go, I want to get back on stage and tell a dirty joke. You know,
seeing you at Treasure Island when you opened for Paul Reiser, which was a great show. That was a great show.
That was a cool show. It was his return to stand up. He's so funny. Yeah. You know, once it's in your blood.
So are you. You know, the thing is, you always say you want to do stand up comedy. And then I say, okay, let's go do a show. And then you're like, I don't know. It's like, you don't want to
know. I know. And you couldn't have gotten off the stage. Like I was dating this guy in Los Angeles when I first started. You know how it is. You will go to any club where there's two people. I mean, back then, you know, before the improv and before finally making the major stages. And anyway, it was some show that I got on, and it was in the middle of the World. It was the last game of the World Series, and the Dodgers were in the bottom of the ninth. And I'm like, we got to go. It meant nothing to me. My set was like happening in an hour from then. First of all, everybody was home watching the Dodgers. So we get to, you'll love this, and you know the guy. We get to the parking lot, and you hear that the Dodgers were losing. You hear this explosion of like what happened? Everybody's applauding and cheering, and my boyfriend is trying to get on one of those little little TVs, trying to get the game. He never could, and it was like this amazing bottom of the ninth. I forget the guy who made that home run.
I don't know anything about sports, so.
Okay. But anyway, long story short, he is seething because they ended up winning the World Series and winning in the bottom of the ninth. And then at the end of the day, we get to this club. There's two people there. I went on. I had an audience. You know, it was better than
baby.
Yeah, better than the keys in the back. I mean, there's somebody those two people were sneezing or something that was making me feel. But once you get that in your blood, that live performance, there's nothing like it. And I know you feel that too, and you just can't get it out of your system. But
no,
it's finally time. I think, you know, what's funny is I should be doing it because I feel like finally it's time for women in stand up. When I started, and I know I started before you, it was like 83, 84 doing stand up, women were not respected. I mean, and you couldn't look a certain way, and you had to dress like down and whatever.
Oh, that's really hard. That was true 10 years later. I started in 89, and I just actually showed a friend a headshot of me. I cut my hair short like a boy. I wore men's blazers, and you try to like take away. And then I remember being in New York and seeing Rita Rudner on stage. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, she's not really doing any of that. She's just up there in like her dress and, you know, just, and she wasn't being self-deprecating either. And that really changed everything for me. And I just started being myself.
I loved her. I did her talk. She had a talk show, and she was so feminine. If anything, she was a ballerina in her early life and super feminine. And you're right. Yeah. I loved her, the way her inflection, just everything about her. She was like, in my mind, that was the direction I wanted to go. But yeah, I did okay. But you, my friend, have continued on. I do think it's amazing because I want to tell everybody that if you don't watch HSN, which is Home Shopping Network, but you're not supposed to say that, it's HSN, but it is Home Shopping Network, and you can watch it on your phone, your tablet, and Helen's on a lot. And how many hours do you think you do in a month of live television, selling every kind of product? And being a woman.
I do about 15 hours a week. So it's about maybe 60 hours a month. And it's, of the 12 years I've been on, it's like 3,500 hours of live TV. It's pretty crazy.
So do you think there's anything in the world that could literally throw you now after that?
I will say, I think it's kind of the opposite. I think after what I went through as a stand-up comedian, being on live TV, there's nothing that can throw me after everything that I've been through as a comedian.
Well, I feel the same. And, you know,
that is the harder of the two jobs, is the comedian.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, and I've been on with you where I get some very heartfelt calls.
You do.
I wouldn't think you would in bras, but we do. And
it's from breast cancer survivors and people. Yeah. That are grateful that you hear them, and women with, you know, body types, all different body types, are able to fit your bras. And it's, you know, it's interesting when you called yourself the accidental feminist, you really are the epitome of feminism, for you're a woman who has always gone by the beat of your own drum. You've always been not only self-sufficient, but like helped out others. If you know what I mean? Like you and me both have.
Sweet. Robin Wall's up on there, and she goes, love you both. We love you.
Hey, Robin.
We love you. Another, you know, gal who was spent how many hours do you have you on? Countless, thousands and thousands of hours shopping.
Robin and I used to have our own show together.
I know. Amazing talent. I think what you do on HSN, you know, I feel like I could act. I feel like I'd be a better actress than I ever would have been in my life. More serious, I could do that. I feel like I could do anything now. I could not do what you do on HSN. I have no attention span. I know my product, and I love my product because I designed my product. But
you do what I do. What are you talking about?
No, no, I do what you do for my product, but to go on and you do cooking and exercise shows and you're with all these different and stars. Some of these stars would intimidate them. When HSN gets like major A stars on there and nothing bothers you. I love these pictures that you're showing of you right now. They're the girl in the middle. Like she would have scared me to death to Wendy Williams. Like she would have terrified me.
You did terrify me. You know, it's funny. A friend of mine was just airing some like clips throughout the years. Some of the people that I've worked with, like Janice Dickerson used to be on HSN.
Yes.
Betsy Johnson. Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, like people that you're like, what on earth were they presenting on HSN? Shaquille O'Neal had his own watch line and he was funny and easy and just charming.
It was funny. And I remember Betsy Johnson used to do cartwheels and all kinds of
things. She did my show. She jumped up and did a split in the middle of the show. And I think, I don't want to say her age on TV, but it was like in the early hundreds. Like she was not.
Yeah, she was around when I was 12 years old. I was my,
I was gonna say.
My first blouse was, my first like teenage blouse, like I was 13, was a Betsy Johnson.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Amazing. Oh my God. Like you have interviewed everybody and you continue on. Okay, so after this pandemic, and it will end, it will.
Yeah.
What, I mean, because I, by the way, I've been doing this every week and you have to be a regular on here because I have another show coming up with comics. So I want you to come back on that one. I mean, what's next planned? Or are you talking to your agent? Like, is there any rumblings out there of anything going on?
So I have a couple shows. I'm going to do a group therapy show at a club in St. Pete, actually, that's indoor outdoor. I'm going to try that because I think that would be safer is the outdoor air. And we're going to try, I'm going to try it. I haven't worked, like I said, and I do have some dates in November at Vero Beach, the Comedy Zone in Vero Beach, November 6th and 7th. I'm going to be at Snappers in Palm Harbor, the 18th and 19th.
Cool.
These clubs have, you know, social distance and wearing masks. I feel like from March until now, I haven't really done anything, but I feel like, how long is this going to go on? Is it going to be 3 years of people not leaving the house? I mean, you can only stand so much.
Well, I mean, I think it's really harmful for human beings not to have that. And I just think we need to mask up. I mean, I really think the masking up.
The mental health element of not being able to laugh and be with other people. I mean, I don't want anyone to get sick. And I, you know, like I said, I haven't done a show yet, but if everybody's 6 feet apart and wearing a mask, I mean, if I can make you laugh then.
Right. You can make them laugh through anything, but you're right. I do think it's harmful without us having social contact. And we feel like that's why I started the show initially, was just so I could hear myself talking on TV. But now it's like really taking off. There's actually a lot of people watching it, Ellen. It's so exciting.
It's so exciting because when I'm watching you host this show, it really reminds me of when you were hosting Up All Night, like your personality is completely coming through. You need to get yourself, girl, you need to get yourself a big talk show. Like right here, this could be it. This could be it.
Well, yeah, and I like it because you know what? I produce it with my producers and I cast it and we direct it. And, you know, fuck everybody who's never hired me in all those years. Pardon me. Wait, hair. Do you have something to turn? Wait.
Are you going to play the song?
Hey. I really like your hair. Hey. I love this.
This is my hair.
Wait.
And some of it's real, too.
It looks good, girl.
Thanks. I bought it myself.
Really? You're doing
some of it's real.
Wow. It looks great.
That's a good chunk of it's real. But you know, when you're on camera, you know, it's like 50-50 what's actually human DNA.
Well, whatever it is, no one knows. We don't care.
We don't care.
I'm going to say goodbye for now because we have Robin from Batman and Robin coming up.
Very exciting. You what a catch.
We got a catch. I mean, he's a catch and he's cool and we all grew up with him. But you know what? This is my favorite show. I had Lloyd Kaufman on and we're going to have, you know, Burt Ward and Helen Keeney. So what a night. Will you come back on like very soon?
I will. And will you go on the road with me?
Absolutely. If you just let me go out into the audience, and if ladies let me measure them, their bras and their boobies, I will. I'm yeah.
I will let you do that.
My only true comedian friend that asked me, actually a couple of other comics lately that I've had on the show or that are coming on the show or have been saying you need to do it again. So I feel really good about that.
You should.
I love you. I love you because you've always actually been very generous that way and very supportive. Not even talking about my bras. I am wearing the new pinup bra tonight though.
Oh, let me see. Oh, nice.
Told the girls up.
The bra that changed the world is the Bandau, the strapless bra. Like, seriously, you guys have not tried that bra. That changed my life.
It did. I'm going to tell Burt Ward about that bra. Yeah. It's a superhero bra. Damn it. I love you. I love you so much. Tell your husband hello. Go have a honeymoon.
I will. I love you too. Say hi to Van.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Helen Keeney, ladies and gentlemen, the funniest lady, the sweetest, most giving person, and watch her on HSN. How many hours did she say she does a year? Is it 35,000 or a week? Or that's a lot of airtime. And okay, we just love having her on, and I thank you so much. A week, or can we go right to my next guest? Yes. I am really, really excited about my next guest because everybody watched Batman and Robin on television, and this gentleman also was in the film Batman and Robin, the very first one, and it's even bigger than ever, this whole world of superheroes, and he's a superhero. We're also celebrating, before I bring him on, Burt Ward, before, I don't want to bring him up yet. He created Gentle Giant's dog food, which I feel like everyone I've talked to now knows his dog food and loves it. And you know, I've got 5 dogs all around my feet right now, but it's back in Walmart stores in Canada and the USA and in Target. And it's in, listen to this. This dog food helps dogs live, we're going to ask him about it, lives up to 27 years. So from Cape Crusader to Canine Crusader, recently just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is huge. Help me welcome in, please, Burt Ward. Yay! Hi, Burt!
Hello, citizen!
What?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I said, hello, citizen.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just want to, you know, I was talking about you. I'm going to get this out right away to a friend of yours today, Richard Gabay.
Yes, your friend.
Yes, your friend, because you've been in 3 of his films, and we were in 1 of his films together, and that was Revenge of the Party Nerds 2, but we weren't in the same scenes. But right. So, you and I have starred in a film together. And I mean, he's told me, I have to actually bring this up because there's something that he told me today and he texted me. And I have to ask you about this. He was honored to go to your Walk of Fame, your Hollywood Star Walk of Fame party. And also he was in your wedding party. But he told me that you all launched an international, how do you say it?
Batusi.
Yes, Dance for Peace. And tell me about that, because I heard he did some videotaping at the wall in Israel, and then you edited it, and he says it's wonderful. So what is it that you did, along with, we'll get to everything else that you're doing.
Well, on the day that I got my Walk of Fame star, okay, mm-hmm. which was January 9th of this year, afterwards, we threw a big party. And part of the party was a giveaway for what we call superhero awards. You know what I mean? Superheroes for superheroes. And at the same time with doing the superhero awards, we also decided that, kind of like with a world so torn up and so divisive, that how about maybe just for 3 minutes, we could talk to people all around the world, get them to stop what they're doing and dance the Batusi, which was on our show in the very first episode. Adam West is Batman. He danced the Batusi. Yes, I mean, there's a lot of people that have danced that. John Travolta
danced that.
Okay. Leonard DiCaprio did that in a film. Yes, it's that, the famous Batusi. But the whole idea was, everybody stop what you're doing, stop hating for 3 to 5 minutes. And worldwide, let's get everybody we can to dance. There you go. You got it. So Richard was at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. I have people from Australia, from New Zealand, from all over the world. I mean, dancing all over the United States, Las Vegas, Canada, and we're putting this together, and it's going to be, we're going to have it on the internet. It'll probably be about 35 or 40 minutes long, but it is such a tribute to love and to peace. And everybody has fun, though. You know,
absolutely. Oh my gosh, your whole life people have looked up to you, and I mean, I think it's great. And I
know you're looking up to me right now.
Oh my gosh,
we've got more than 50 of these in the house. Irish Wolfhound,
Irish Wolfhounds, because Richard told me that you had 40 to 50 dogs living in the house with your wife. There's my babies. That's my pup cam right now. They're all chihuahuas of every shape, size,
right.
and so that's my guess, and there's my feet. Hello. So anyway, I've got five. How do you deal with 50 of them in your house?
Well, actually, over the last 26 years, 15,500 have lived in our house, always a minimum of 50. We always have a minimum of 50 or more. And these are primarily your giant breeds. We have them up to 200 to 300 pounds. Yes. Well, you know, my wife and I literally have gone to the dogs. You know, it's our charity. It's our life's work. And as you can see from the photo, we've got dogs living into their late 20s, running around.
Oh, my gosh.
No one in the world has done this. And for so many people who love their dogs, actually, there's 80 million dogs in the U.S. in 67 million households. Just think, if you can double the lifespan of your dog, or you can add at least 5 to 10 years. Plus, our dogs are so healthy, the only time they go to a veterinarian is every 3 years. For a $10 rabies update.
I have the chills. First of all, I'm sitting in a room, my producers and my husband and myself, we're dog lovers. We're animal lovers. Last year, I chair the SPCA event, whatever. Anything I can do for animals, I'm going to do. But I can't believe that you've done. I've read some stars have adopted from you. I love the fact my producer, Marie, over there, she's got a sick baby at home right now, and she says she's going to change immediately to Gentle Giants. And also my other producer, Gene, his dog eats Gentle Giants. We actually made up a little jingle for Gentle. This is like our own in-house jingle girl, Erica Flaskin, because we love dogs. So you have to listen. This is our little gift to you.
Great. Thank you. I'm ready.
So can we go ahead and play it?
Corn. Wheat, soy, byproducts.
Not today, dastardly villain.
Gentle Giant.
Our dogs have longer in your skin, too. Long live your dogs with Gentle Giant's dog food. Yeah!
Just for you.
Very good. I'd clap more, but my dog is just molesting me here with kisses and hugs and everything.
I love that you and your wife do this. I'm reading, you know, just right now that you're back in, or if someone was looking for you, you're over 1,800 Walmart in nationwide and 250 in Canada for the first time. And now in 1,100 Target stores. So congratulations on that. Gentle Giants dog food. We're going to talk more. You personally, you have an exhibit at the Hollywood Museum right now. The first superhero legend exhibit. And then I love Roger Neal and a publicist. And you were given the Icon Award last year at the Hollywood Oscar viewing dinner in 2018. You have had an amazing life. And I love that you embrace animals, because that means that you love life and you love people and dogs, and
absolutely
nothing better than the love of an animal. And what they, I really think they're smarter than I think that maybe we'll ever know in our lifetime, and the way they communicate with us.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you what happened was, when my wife and I moved to where we're living now, we decided to get a dog for our daughter, and we like big dogs. Okay. We like all dogs, but we wanted a big dog. So we got either an Irish Wolfhound or Great Dane. We found a Great Dane. We basically found that all the Great Danes that weren't in homes were being put to death because the lady that was rescuing them, because every breed has a rescue. There's a Chihuahua rescue, there's a Shepherd rescue, and there's a Great Dane rescue. But the lady herself had died, and these dogs, when people had to give them up, would go to shelters. Dogs in shelters are barking, right? You know that. And they, because they want to get out and they're frightened. And who's going to take a big dog that's barking out of a cage, right? So what happened was is they were all being put to death. So I said to my wife, Tracy, this is the first week in August of 1994. I said, look, we can't let these dogs die. How about just for a couple weeks, 2 weeks, until we find somebody else to take this over? She said, okay. Well, it's been 26 years. I mean, I'm a patient person, but 26 years, there was supposed to be 2 weeks. Anyway, but we love the dogs. And by the end of the first month, I had more than 102 Great Danes, those big dogs, in my house. And my wife was caring for 62 puppies, seven litters of puppies on our kitchen floor, you know, bring the mother in, attach the puppies, they'd nurse, get the mother back to where she could stay, and the puppies had to be incubated in the next litter. And, you know, we never bred any dogs, but there's so many dogs that needed rescue that their lives were in immediate danger.
Yes.
And anyway, here's the whole thing. These dogs traditionally don't live long lifetimes. Dogs don't live long time, but
especially big dogs.
Exactly. Some of them only live 6 to 8 years. So we decided if there was a way, we'd find a way to help them. We developed a feeding and care program. We actually feed, Rhonda, dogs differently than other people. And our dogs, by the way we feed them and care for them, they're living 3 years longer on average. That's pretty tremendous just by feeding them. But then we said, is there something else we could do? And so we decided to create the finest dog food in the world. And when we set out to do that, we were kind of like, you know, conservative thinking, maybe we could add another year, maybe 2 years. But what we found out, Rhonda, was so horrible that I want to share with you, because your listeners and viewers need to know about this. All of the dog food companies that we know something the average person doesn't know, which is the more fat content you put in dog food, the hungrier it makes dogs. Wow. The hungrier the dogs are, the more they eat. The more they eat, the more dog food you have to buy.
Right.
Now, this fat content shortens dogs' lives. And all you have to say to any of your viewers, go feel your dog food. When you go feel it, you're going to feel a slightly greasy. That's right. Do you know what that is? That's animal fat that has been sprayed onto the food to make your dogs hungrier. Well, think of it this way. Would you ever take bacon grease or chicken fat and pour it down your garbage disposal at home? You wouldn't do, because you know, unlike water that evaporates, animal fat coagulates. And when it hardens, it's like cement. So when you realize that animal fat will ruin a metal garbage disposal, what do you think is happening to your babies? Every meal, every bite, their arteries and their intestines are being clogged with animal fat. We don't do that. We don't even take any salary from this. This is all about loving animals. So we put out this food. It's called Gentle Giants. Yes, actually, we're in 2,400 Walmarts in the U.S., 410 Walmarts in Canada, all over Target, and online. Every online company has it. But we sell it for what it costs us so that people who love their dogs can afford to get the finest food in the world at the least expensive price. So our motto is half the price and twice the life.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, so it doesn't have certain things. It obviously doesn't have fat in it. Is there
any? Well, it has only what's natural in the food. When you start doctoring things, things don't get better. So we have no preservatives, no chemicals, nothing negative. Wow. And yet we also have some of the most powerful things in the world. As an example, I don't know if you know of this, but I'm sure you've heard of glucosamine and chondroitin, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can get that in for humans. Right. But there's one place on earth that in a living form, not a powdered form that's not as strong, there is a superfood called New Zealand green mussels. And they contain a massive amount of glucosamine and chondroitin for dogs' joints. It's $100 a pound.
Wow.
And they're in every bag of our dog food, in every can of our canned food. And it's like nobody would... who's in business to make money would ever spend that kind of money, because they could never get make a profit. We don't do it to make a profit. We do it for one reason, to make a better world for all of us. Because think of it this way, not just helping your dogs live longer, but if your dogs live an extra 5 or 10 years longer, what does it do for you?
Oh, absolutely.
What does it do for you when you love these? These are your family, your fur members. You're a pet parent.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that they say that people who have animals, they live longer lives. They're happier. And my husband and I totally believe that. I have people that have been complimenting you. Joe Esposito, he owns a restaurant here. He feeds his dog. Nick Ellison was saying, holy strawberries. I guess it was something said, but he also said he's changing his dog food tonight. I love that because, I mean, I didn't get my first dog until I got married. And so I've only been married 20 years. I got married later in life. So I had a dog and she lived my first dog was, she lived to 16. And I can't even express to you what she meant to me because I'd never had a dog. My mother she was bitten when she was very young by an animal, went through bad experiences. So we didn't grow up with animals, but now all my siblings, we all have animals. But they change, they're like little glasses of wine or Valium for me. I mean, they calm me. They're just so calming and so giving and so loving. And everything you say, of course we want them to live longer. We want our babies to live as long as possible.
And healthier, a better quality of life. I mean, I must tell you, the average dog by the time it's 7 or 8 years old starts to have a problem getting up, starts to have a problem walking. Yes. Yours are smaller dogs, so you can add a couple years, but it's coming. And ours are running around like puppies in their mid-20s, running like puppies. And how we do it is by conserving energy. We have our website, gentlegiantsdogfood.com, has a menu on every page. One of the menu items is special feeding and care program. People should read that. It took my wife, Tracy, and I 25 years of our life to learn what you can read and learn in 25 minutes. It's really powerful. And you can get the same results. People writing to me, I got an email 2 days ago. My dog died, but he was 23 years old, a German Shepherd. He was only expected to live 8 years, and he lived 23 because of your dog food.
Absolutely. I mean, I know larger animals, larger dogs don't have the lifespan usually that even the smaller ones do. But yeah, my Chihuahua arthritis.
And I want to share something with you. Yes. Something very unusual happened. My wife and I are experts with dogs. We're not experts with cats, although we've had rescued about 500 in the last 20 years, which is, I'm sure, more than anybody in the world. But nevertheless, we're not experts. However, something happened last year with our cats. Two of our cats died last year. One was 31 years old. The other was 32 years old. And guess what they were eating?
What?
Our dog food.
Oh!
Now, we know that cats do need a little more protein and stuff. And what we did is we put a regular cat food in there, but we put our dog food. The cats ate 80% of our food, only 20% of the cat food.
That's amazing.
Now, we took our formula, redesigned it just for cats, and in 2 months we're going to have a cat food out there that is unbelievable. We've been feeding it now for about 6 months in trial, and we have veterinarians who have their own cats that they couldn't heal for surgeries now are no longer needing operation just because of the food we've made.
See, you are a superhero. I mean, you are, and you're giving, and your wife are giving, and you are a superhero. So tell me, Bert, I have so many people that are clamoring, what was it like to be cast as Robin? How old were you when you got cast as Robin?
I was 20 years old, okay? I wasn't old enough to sign a contract. You had to be 21, so I had to go get court approval to sign it. There was a lot of competition. There were 1,100 young actors interviewed for this one role, 1,100. And the thing that was really interesting is that after I was cast, the producer came to me and he said, Bert, would you like to know why we selected you out of 1,100 people? I said, yes, sir. He said, in our minds, forgetting television now, forgetting show business, if there really was a Robin, I mean like the real thing, we think you, Bert, would be it. So we don't want you to, quote, act. We want you to be yourself and be enthusiastic, which is what I did for 120
episodes. 120
episodes.
That's congratulations, by the way, on your star. Well, just unbelievably well-deserved. Richard Gavai told me you were an expert figure skater. Is that true? Or a champion figure skater in your youth?
Well, my father believed in an early work ethic. Okay. And when I was 2 years old, I was the world's youngest professional ice skater in my father's traveling ice show called Rhapsody on Ice. It was the predecessor to Ice Capades. And so what would happen is they'd have professional skaters bring me out. I was 2 years old. I mean, my skates are like this, right? And they would hold my hand and skate around. And people are clapping, you know, a two-year-old still able to stand up. And then they'd let me go. And I skated around the entire arena by myself. And people were, like, tearing the seats out. They couldn't believe it. It's impossible. How can you have a two-year-old child skating?
Wow. Well, you know what? You know, I see that you have that energy. You look so young, and you have the same energy. And that's, I mean, I can see why you've got it. And I think you instill that in the dog food and everything that you've done. And I know you've done a lot of acting other than Batman and Robin, but you know, how can anybody ever, when it's such an iconic role, that's what, of course, you're going to be known for. But you guys did, Adam West and yourself, you all did the movie. The movie came after the series, right?
It came during the first year.
Oh, the first year. Okay.
Yeah. And then the second year, I'll tell you something, because you know, not everything can be perfect, as I'm sure you know, right? I tell everybody, the first 100 years are the hardest, Rhonda. Okay. In any event, the second year, a young producer at 20th Century Fox came to me and said, Bert, I want you for my small little movie here at Fox. And I went to the producers and said, can I do it? And they said, well, let us check with the network. ABC came back and said, no, I'm sorry. Batman is so gigantic, it has made us the third network. We don't want any dilution of the character. So I'm sorry he can't do this movie. Do you know what the name of the movie was, Rhonda?
What?
It was called The Graduate. You may have heard of The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman. So when they couldn't get me, they got Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, my God. That's an amazing
story. You win some and you lose some. That's okay, you know?
No, that, I just chills. And this happens with all of us. But you know what? You were meant to do what you're doing now. You are a superhero for animals and helping people and keeping people live longer. So since your wife have figured that out, why can't you do it for people? Like, can you do the same thing so we can eat the perfect amount of food and not have those clogged arteries? Let's get going.
We are trying, and we are actually doing a tremendous amount of research. It's not just like, okay, we've done this and let's sit back. No, I mean, it's our life's work.
Right.
Okay. And really, humans are animals. We're maybe more sophisticated, but we're all animals. So the whole idea is to find the best source of health and life. And part of it is being a happy person. You know, that changes things. You go around, and if you're happy on the inside, it makes a huge difference, because no matter what, you can try to find peace and happiness in your world.
Absolutely. This is why I always recommend everybody to get an animal. I've enjoyed having you on. Richard Gabay, who's a famous producer, director, writer himself, is amazing, and actor, as you are. And gentlegiants.com, if you want to read about the dog.
Gentlegiantsdogfood.com, yes.
Oh, yes, yes. And we've been putting it up the whole time for you.
Oh, gentlegiantsdogfood.com.
And it'll stay up. It'll live on our site. So we have it up full screen right now, gentlegiantsdogfood.com. Want to read more and get more recipes, and I think I might take a little advice. I got to get those green mussels. I got to get them, whatever they are. I got to get them.
They're from New Zealand. But you, it's easier to get them in our food because we're spending all the money to bring them over here.
I bet. Bert, you are wonderful. Richard Gabay told me that you would be amazing, and congratulations on a lifetime of success, continued success with the dog food. My dogs are, they're licking their chops beneath me, and look at them. Look, well, you know, maybe they're sleeping, but they'll be eating Gentle Giants tomorrow, even though they're small. And we love you, and we love you for a lifetime, and we thank you for letting us, you know, have our superhero in Robin. And you're as good looking today as you were back then. And I just thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you, citizen. As we said on Batman, to the Batmobile.
Powie, Zowie.
There you go. You got it.
Good night. Good night, Bert Ward. Oh, my gosh. Robin from Batman and Robin. What a great show. I'd like to thank Bert Ward, Gentle Giants. Go check out his dog food. I've heard it's amazing. from people that I know that use it. So if you can, if we can all just get more time out of with our animals, how amazing. The fabulous Helen Keeney, look for her, go to helenkeeney.com. And then Lloyd Kaufman with Troma Films, fight for getting Troma back on YouTube. We'll put up all of their sites so that you can go to rondashiresocialhour.com and find them. And we'll link you to them so that you can write us at rondashiresocialhour.com. Tell us your story. If you want a picture or if you want, you want a guest on, you've got a special story, let us know. We want to hear from you. What a great night. I thank all of you. I thank Beverly Center for coming on, Professor Cocktail, and we'll see you at 9 p.m. Eastern time next week, rondashiresocialhour.com. Love you. Check out the podcast too. Love and sizzle kisses.
Nighty. Stuck at home and you don't know what to do. Hold on, baby, Rhonda, she's got you. Grab your computer, log on, baby, you got the power. It's the Rhonda Shears Social Hour. It's the